Hey, it's a Club TFE course chat. These are short conversations about the golf courses that we review in our Club TFE membership. This is Garrett Morrison talking. I'm here with Andy Johnson, and we are going to talk briefly about Sand Hills Golf Club.
It's going to be hard to be brief. It's a wonderful place, and I think you could talk about every hole extensively out there, and we could probably talk for a couple hours.
Yeah, definitely. This would, and you could go into the story of the course and the impact that it had on the history of the field of golf architecture. Like, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to try to keep it fairly concise here, though. I guess my first question for you is that, you know, so this is the first Club TFE review, the first three-egg course that we've rated. Why choose Sand Hills for that spot and not another course that, you know, maybe was built in the 20s or something like that, and, you know, maybe is better known as the greatest golf course in the world? Why is Sand Hills the first one that we're reviewing and giving that three-egg rating?
I think in terms of golf courses that showcase three eggs really clearly, I think that Sand Hills is near the top of the list for that. I think when you go through what we talked about with the LDP, the land, the design, and the presentation, it nails all three of those kind of segments of the rating, and it's a really clear and easy one to understand how the rating system works. Anybody that's been to Sand Hills or seen photos of Sand Hills, the land is sublime. It is among the best. I mean, really, the Nebraska Sand Hills is among the best places in the United States to build a golf course. Maybe the best place in the United States to build a golf course, you know, from a purely construction standpoint build. I don't think it wouldn't be that way from a business sense because of how short the season is. But from a topography and land and really, like, you know, super unique. It has a lot of movement, and it has, but it's not always too big. I think Sand Hills is a dramatic Sand Hills course, Nebraska Sand Hills course. There are others that have a little bit smaller movement that you'd encounter in Scotland. This one's kind of like, it's got really, it's just great land. The design obviously also emphasizes this land. It brings more out of the land. And the land obviously then brings more out of the design. So from the design standpoint, I think one of the things that always sticks with me with Sand Hills is it's one of the most strategic golf courses I've ever played. And the reason I think it's so strategic is because of the bunkers and some of the natural blowout bunkers, some of the constructed bunkers. These are hazards that you are terrified to go into. And it's a mixture of, like, the sands really, you know, it's like kind of that fluffy, deep sand. It's not easy to get out of. But then they are devastatingly deep bunkers. Like, you go in them and you know that it is you're probably not going to advance the ball very far. So they Right. act more like a true hazard. And they give you kind of a feel of what bunkers might have been 100 years ago when, you know, there weren't rakes and there wasn't, like, perfect upkeep. And, you know, you had these clubs that couldn't get, like, they are so taxing that they create. So it what it does is it creates the strategy hole to hole. And obviously out there, one of the other natural things that they have is wind. There's two really distinct wind directions out there. And the course plays crazy. It's so different depending on the wind. But then, you know, with the strategy, with these bunkers, it really day to day, you can move pins and holes play completely different. A great example would be like the 12th, which has a great hog's back feature in the middle of the fairway. When the pin's over on the right, you might want to play down the left, especially when it's downwind. You have no hope when it's downwind from the right, because you have to go over this bunker that got added later. But, like, strategy hole to hole, you could do this with almost every hole out there. And it's sophisticated. And I think, like, you know, it's from a design sense, it's also, like, a cool thing. One of the things that it kind of, like, emphasizes how important the order you play a golf course in is. I played it the back nine first, and they like are very vehement against like they. So we played this before opening day. We were out shooting for the Sandhills series we did, the Teaching Turf series. We were out there before opening day, and they were working on the front nine. So I said, and we were done shooting for the day, and I was like, let's go play. And we played, went teed off the back nine. And yeah. It was like remarkably a different golf course, because if you think about the front nine out there, it's like really gettable, super fun. It's got right. like
short
it's
par fours.
Yeah, there's short par fours, short par five to open. They've got some of the more adventurous greens, the more of the dynamic greens, and the back nine's just like an ass kicker. You know, there
back nine's tough. It's a tougher walk too, because the front nine is sort of intimately routed, right? The holes are, you know, there are some holes that go back and forth a little bit, that go different directions, change direction, kind of stay mostly in the same area after, at least after the fourth hole, mm-hmm. right? There are several holes kind of in one little pocket valley, whereas the back nine, you walk up the valley and you come back down the valley, and the walk up the valley is not easy.
Yeah, there's a lot of big golf holes on that nine. And it's funny because like Cameron, who I played with, hadn't seen it yet, and he kind of like, you could tell after the back nine, he kind of was like, this isn't very fun. And he said something about like, I expected the greens to have a little bit more spunk, like, and then I was like, oh, just wait, like we're getting to those greens. And but like for me, I was just like, wow, that's like a really way different golf course. And I don't, you know, the thing about it is I don't think it's as good. It's not as good of a golf course that way.
Well, do you think the back nine is weaker than the front nine?
See, I think where it falls is this, like it has this buildup, right? And you end with this like huge, like when you think about the finish of 16, 17, 18, it's a pretty special, dramatic finish, right?
Yes.
You have this like big par five that cascades down the hill. You've got this short par three that's a do or die par three. And then 18 is like everything you want, like full natural features and like what this site gives you on display finish. Now that in the middle of the round, it doesn't have as much of an effect. And then the back nine zips, like you fly through the back nine if the front nine is the back nine. And, you know, finishing with 7, 8, and 9, you don't feel like you're having to hit as many shots as when you finish 16, like even if you go extend back to 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So I think I don't think it's necessarily weaker. It's just way different. I think the front nine is way more fun. I think the back nine is a way sterner test of golf, and it has you hit more varied shots, because like really when you think about like 7 and 8, they're wildly different short par fours, but you're hitting, you know, you're hitting similar shots.
Mm-hmm.
When you extend back 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, those are all distinctly different holes.
You hit some long irons, you hit some big drives, right? 7 and 8 are kind of these tactical holes where you can hit maybe a 3-wood off the tee and you'll still have kind of a pitch into the green. And it's all about angles and where you are in the wide fairway, right? Whereas on the back nine, there's a demand that you just hit over some big landforms. 18, for instance, just goes right up the hill, and you've just got to hit a big drive and a big approach to get to the green. And that's sort of the challenge at the end. It's a spectacular finishing hole. There is some strategy, right? If you cut off the dog leg a little bit, you'll have a shorter shot.
And
there's some different
angle.
Options in the fairway. Yeah.
Way better angle. It's really hard to hold the green if you're way right on 18. It's like almost, because that thing just runs away from you.
Absolutely.
Over there.
So there's definitely some strategy there. I don't want to act like 18 is unstrategic, but I would say the main challenge there is just the physical one, mm-hmm. right? Hitting shots that are big enough to get to that green, especially for a player like me. Now, okay, so differences between the front nine and the back nine. Front nine is a little bit shorter. It's routed in a more intimate way. Back nine is out and back. It's a brute in parts and really should be played second because, you know, the front nine warms you up a little bit. If you go straight into the back nine, you're you know, that's a that's a kind of kick in the shins right away. Let's go back to strategy. You mentioned the bunkers and how their kind of difficult nature demands that you take a truly tactical approach to your play at Sand Hills. And I think that that's an important point because, you know, when you're playing courses where the bunkers are pretty easy to negotiate, it just changes your entire attitude toward playing the game. So that's a key one. But I think another special thing about Sand Hills is how it uses the greatest feature of the property, which is the undulation and the elevation change and the constant movement of the land, how it uses those characteristics to strategic advantage. And a good example of that might be the 14th hole, the short par five.
Yeah.
So I think you could probably describe this better than I could because you've played the course more times. I've just played it once, walked it one other time. Why does the 14th hole use the land so well? How does it use the land?
Yeah, so the 14th is a shortish par five. It is a it's reachable for long hitters pretty much every day. It just depends on the wind. So it either plays dead downwind or into the wind, and it's a fascinating hole either way. If it's playing, so the big thing is the tee shot. So the tee shot, you're trying to play it up the left side because and there's really big bunkers there. Really penal, terrifying bunkers up the left.
If you're aggressive, I've you're trying to play it up the left side.
I'm like trying to hit the ball up the left, and I can feel my innate like subconscious take over in the swing and hit it 20 yards right because like I just don't want to go there. But you know you need to get there in order to have a good chance of getting home in two. And the green sight, it, you know, kind of dictates that it's sat up right in a dune behind the green, right behind the green's this big dune, and the green sits right in there and it's tiny. It's only 2,400 square feet. It's the smallest green at Sand Hills. And it's got a bunker short right and long left. So it kind of sits on this angle. Think about like kind of the way the angular nature of the 12th at Augusta would be a good comparison, right? How it has that hard angle. And so off the tee, if you're up the left, it gives you a open entrance into the green. And if you're thinking about, like, when are you going for this green the most, it's when it's downwind. So, like, you need to kind of bounce it into such a shallow green. So if you're up the left and it's downwind, you're in a great spot to make, you can make a three, you can make a four, or at the worst case, an easy five. If you're up the right, you're going to have to hit an absolutely perfect iron or long iron, mid iron, whatever it you have in to get home in two. You will have to hit it perfect. And if you're not trying to get home in two, if you don't have that towering iron shot in play, it's also a fascinating hole because like what you can't do is leave yourself short right. You have to play over to the left and get that entrance in because if you have that like 20-yard pitch downwind, you're left with the same kind of situation going into that green. You cannot be approaching that green from the right side. So now if it's playing into the wind, it's what's really cool is there's this dramatic feature. And it is a huge swale on the left side. So if you say you hit a bad tee shot into the native and it's downwind, this comes into play. Say you hit it into the bunker and it's downwind, it comes into play. If it's into the wind, it's very in play for a lot of reasons because you might be laying up in here. If you lay up down there, which means you probably didn't hit a great tee shot, you are going to be just like trying to pick a cloud to aim at the green.
So you're blind.
It's the smallest target on the course and you won't be able to see anything. And granted, you will be from an advantageous angle. But it's so hard to measure up where you're hitting it at. And it's this really cool feature. And you don't mind it. Like, if it's downwind, a long hitter can get down into that swale. And you don't mind it if it's your second shot, really, because you'll have, like, a wedge in if you're that long off the tee. And it's like, okay, this is my second shot in. But it does make it tricky. So this natural feature is really cool. And if you think about laying up on this hole, it's really advantageous if you can kind of get up short left of the hole past the swale and there's a big bunker. So really like these like features guard the preferred lines. You just want to be left on this hole, but everywhere left, there's kind of trouble and things that make it, that just obscure your difficult, like just make it a little bit more difficult on you unless you pull off the perfect shot. And like you could play right all day, but eventually you have to get left or hit an absolutely perfect shot. It's just a brilliant, brilliant hole. It's on the very far end of the property. It's beautiful. It's like tranquil back there. I mean, this hole, I love this hole. I think about this hole way too much.
And I think what makes it really special is how it uses that natural swale that you're talking about, because, you know, it serves a couple of different purposes. If you're a long hitter and you get to it with your drive, it makes that second shot a little bit more difficult than it would be. And so it makes the hole like not a pushover for a big long hitter, which it would be if that swale weren't there. And then also it's a place where you might hit your layup and be challenged by that.
I hit the first time I was there, I hit drives that got down into the swale, and I think I made par both times.
Yes.
This year, one of the times I played it, I hit it up the left, but I didn't get down.
Because you're nice and high.
Yes.
When you do that, when you're shorter and up to the left and near that big bunker on the left, mm-hmm. you can see the green.
Yes.
Like it's a nice straight kind of like a fairly simple long shot into the green.
And that time that I was up high, I made a three. Because like I could see it. I think blind shots with irons are like one of the more underrated. Like there's like always going to be in the back of your head an uncertainty when you're blind. I think there's a lot of like, actually, when you think about sand hills, there's a lot of like semi-blindness and uncomfortableness with like they do a good job of using the natural topography to obscure things. Like the 15th, the next hole, there's a really good example of this. Like there's a big fronting bunker, and obviously the first time you play it, you think that bunker's like right up on the green, but really there's like 40 yards and it's a good spot to hit it over, but you have to hit it over this big bunker that's really intimidating.
Yes, and that's that kind of semi-blindness or angle-dependent blindness, like you're blind from one portion of the fairway but not from another, is a factor on 10 as well, is a factor on 12. Right,
11.
There are many holes there. 11, yeah, because 11 is just like uphill on that approach. There are several holes at Sand Hills that kind of use the land to conceal or reveal, and always doing so in a really kind of intentional and clear and strategic way. And so that's maybe the biggest thing I appreciate about this design, because that's not something that was accomplished through earth moving. It was accomplished through routing, right? They routed the course so that these shots would set up in this way with these sight lines. And it's just brilliant in that way.
I think it'd be important to talk about the last factor as we're trying to keep these tight and short.
Yeah, we're trying to wrap this up in the next couple of minutes here.
So presentation.
Presentation.
We'll probably do another pod on Sandhills, far more detail at some point in our careers.
Yeah, but, yeah, that would be a fried egg podcast
yeah.
for sure.
But the presentation. So Kyle Hegland, the superintendent there, does a great job out there. I think one of the things that to me sticks out, you know, you're talking, when we talk about these different categories, like elite presentation, something that Sand Hills does extraordinarily well for its region is its native. It is great native because it looks good, which everybody like wants their native to look good. But the big reason I love it is the, like, you're rarely like hunting for golf balls when somebody hits it in there. Like, I can count on one hand the number of golf balls that I've seen lost at Sand Hills in a number of, probably close to 8 rounds now. And it's because the native is, like, manageable. You go in and you find your golf ball really quickly. And the other aspect of it is it's not, when it's hard to find, it becomes like a water hazard surrounding the hole. And that's not good, right? If you had hole, like it doesn't matter how great your holes are, if there's water hazards on both sides of them, that's going to diminish the design, right? So it's really manageable. You're able to find the ball quickly. And then what I love about it is you can get lucky. You can have like a good lie and you have the opportunity to hit a heroic shot out of there. You can recover. But those lies are often very, very unpredictable. And sometimes the lie looks good, but it's not as good as it looks. And you get yourself in more trouble, or you try and bite off a little bit more than you chew. And to me, that's perfect native. That is what the purpose of native is not, it's not just a texture thing. Obviously, it brings great aesthetics to your golf course, but it should bring also predictability with the unpredictability with the ability to hit a heroic recovery shot.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the topic of presentation, that's where one potential critique of Sand Hills comes in, because Sand Hills does not have a walking culture. A lot of people take golf carts out there, and I understand it's a tough walk. But the result of having a lot of people take carts is that the course needs to be maintained in a different way. The turf needs to be maintained in a different way. You can't ride the line, as Jared Kalina, formerly of Ballyneal, likes to put it. You need to have the turf a little bit sturdier, a little bit greener, in order to hold up against that cart traffic. And so Kyle Hegland is a little bit hamstrung in that specific way. Now, he does a great job of keeping that place firm and fast. Like, it's as firm and fast as it can be with carts. But it is with carts. And I, you know, in a fantasy land, it would be kind of like Ballyneal out there, a little bit more fiery. And that would just open up some features of the architecture a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. And this is like, I think one thing to clarify, like the walk's tough because of the terrain. It's not because of the routing.
Yeah. Green to tee transitions are great. And, the terrain is just big, big, big.
And it can be hot. I get it. Yeah. And it's an older membership. I understand why there's so much cart traffic, but at the same time, it can take away from the golf experience. And I think one other thing that I will say about a positive about Sand Hills is the greens are not too fast.
Yes.
The greens are I think this is an important thing about these ratings. Fast greens actually take away from golf a lot of times. You know, if you can't put pins in certain spots on your greens, your presentation, because of the speed of your greens, your presentation is taking away from the design of your golf course, and that's not a good thing. So I think we'll get into courses that's the case. I think with Sand Hills, I think that's one of the best things about the presentation is that the greens haven't gotten too fast for the green contours. And because of that, they have a lot of really fun pins that they can deploy on a daily basis and greens that actually play the way they should play. And I think like Ballyneal's an interesting comparison. I think that Ballyneal is both of these courses are presented excellently.
Yes.
But if I was going to critique Ballyneal's presentation, is the green speeds are too quick for the greens.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I think Sand Hill speeds are pretty good. They're fast. There's no doubt about that, but appropriate for the slope.
That's one of the things with, I think, the back nine, where the greens aren't as trying to think of the right word. They aren't as animated as the front nines. They're a little bit more muted. But what you have there is more dramatic landscapes, and the greens are often benched into dunes. So there's actually a ton of just like gradual slope.
Yeah, the land is the dramatic thing. The green doesn't have to compensate for it. Okay, so much more to talk about with Sand Hills, but we'll wrap it up there for the Club TFE quick chat. Thanks, Andy.